Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
It's the Dork Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dork Podcast.
And David.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Ruth Von Duth. All hail the king of ginger ales, Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Doing all right. I'm. How are you?
Can't complain.
Can't complain.
No.
And who would listen, right?
Oh, stop it. Stop it. You know that to be the case.
I do.
This topic du jour, which we will get to momentarily, is a few weeks old, but we had to do it. We got to do it. And we're up to our hog in shows and movies.
And by the way, happy Odyssey week to all those who celebrate.
Yes. Happy Odyssey week to you as well. Have you procured your tickets yet? Do you know when you're going?
But I kind of screwed up because I have to, for those of you who are going, who are festival goers in the Commonwealth, Festival in Marshfield is happening this weekend. I will see you there, or I will see you on another time.
Okay.
I'll be shooting that all weekend. So I screwed up and I bought tickets for Saturday night before I got approved to shoot this festival. So I don't know if Fandingus is going to let me,
you know what?
I
think they are pretty good about that. If you go I can't make it. I think they do actually. You might get charged the service fee or something, but I think,
I'll buy it.
Or maybe get another one. I think they can. I think that you can, but yeah, I know. Very exciting. I've not got my seats yet. So I think I'm probably SOL when it comes to IMAX, but whatever. It's okay.
I might see it and then
find IMAX later.
I just got to find a ticket. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. All right, before we get to the topic sure, though, we got a few things to hit on.
This week in Dork. Yeah!
Can you believe this news? And I feel like we probably mentioned it when we were talking about this TV show as like a throwaway line. But Mayor of Easttown and Task are officially in the same universe.
Which is the best. I think there hasn't been a lot of good news recently, but that's
fantastic.
Some really good news.
I love it. And it's obviously the same showrunner creator, and they have the accents. They go full go into the accents, both great shows. I preferred Mayor of Easttown to Task, but we did a Task episode. I really, really enjoyed it. And apparently it's going to be.
It's my Ryan.
Julianne Nicholson's Lori Ross is going to be in Task season 2. So it's got awesome. A real Golden Girls empty nest situation where you're going to have a crossover character. I like it.
Or was that whatever the other shows too that have done those weird crossovers? Yeah.
Oh yeah. There's a bunch of shows that have done that. But anyway, Mayor of Easttown and Task. So I'm all in on that. Right. I don't know if you saw it yet. Evil Dead Burn was in theaters this past weekend. And apparently really graphic, very, very gory. Nick at work, he watched it. He liked it quite a bit. He likes horror movies. He likes gory movies. And that is this. So if you have a weak stomach, perhaps sit out on Evil Dead Burn. For everybody else, though, I did not see it yet, but I am looking forward to it.
The only thing that gets me in that regard, there have been two things that get me, right? Yeah. And I didn't know one of them until I saw a very specific movie, and it's not a horror movie, but eyeball stuff kind of gets me.
Was it Ace Ventura 2?
That, but no, just any eyeball stuff. I don't know why that makes me squeamish.
Yep.
And remember, it was a Jackass 2, the paper cuts.
Paper cuts is
like that.
Watch.
I don't know why, but that was when they were doing between the fingers like that. I don't know why that
the manila folder through the toes. Tough go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really tough go. But apparently it's good. I want to watch that. Also getting really good reviews is Olivia Wilde's The Invite. And so this is a comedy drama. And I guess the premise, from what I understand, is Olivia Wilde and Seth Rogen are a couple. And then they invite their neighbors, played by Ed Norton and Penelope Cruz to their house for like a dinner or whatever. And then I guess from there, it's like probably pretty strange.
And then it get nice.
They all just start banging.
Like Seth, you get Seth Rogen in there and you're like, why is Seth Rogen married to Olivia Wilde in this situation?
I'm not sure, but it's got like dual 96% on Roddy T's. People seem to like
it. The thing about Olivia Wilde is that the more I find out about her, the less I like her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Sudeikis served her divorce papers during like the Emmys or some shit.
So
it?
He claimed.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't know that that's when it was going to go down. And, you know, process servers, they don't give a shit. I don't think they give a shit.
They'll come at
you.
They
knew exactly where she's going to be. And I don't think he can't like tell them to do that.
No, I don't think so. Live action Moana in theaters getting absolutely pumped. Nobody wanted this. Nobody asked for this.
And what are they? I just read that they're remaking Free Willy and Nightmare on Elm Street. Like,
yeah, stop.
What have you learned in the past like 18 months that like original ideas are selling? People don't want this shit anymore.
They're like, stop. Okay. They're like, or we take a cartoon, we make it live action. You're like, no, that's not what we mean. That's not a fresh idea. So anyway,
like, even the people who like are like have an emotional attachment to these movies, like, we don't want to see another one. Stop it.
You can watch the original Moana. It's on Disney Plus and it's awesome. You can
just and it's great.
That. Yep.
Right. Right. I can show whoever Nightmare on Elm Street. If my kids want to watch Free Willy, I'll show them the actual Free Willy. Like, they don't need, oh, but it's the same kid, but now he's got a phone.
I don't want
I don't want that. Fuck that. Right.
Speaking of, Cece Beans went with one of her friends and saw Toy Story 5, and she said it was pretty good. Although I think she still liked Minions more.
I was gonna say, of course she likes Minions. She's hilarious.
I think she went Minions and Monsters 6 out of 6. Toy Story 5, 5 out of 6.
All right, nice.
So I was like, all right, good to know.
Yeah.
And then I asked her, I go, can you rank all the movies that you've seen this year for me? And her response was, I'm not gonna do that. I was like, all right. And then I'm like, but you've seen 5 movies that I know of that have come out this year, and I named the 5. I'm like, can you just like your favorite to your least favorite? She's like, no. I'm like, all right, I'll circle back. We could maybe do that tomorrow. Yeah. Like, think about it. Yeah, just sleep on it.
Or you'd be like, yeah, what's your favorite movie? Do you like this one more than you could figure it out.
This one or this one. Maximum Pleasure Guaranteed finale this week. This is that Tatiana Maslany show I've been mentioning all the time. Really good, really fun, and curious how it's going to end. So that's on Apple Plus. It's also 10 episodes, 30 minutes each. So I was watching it with Widow's Bay, but Widow's Bay started first, and so now
it got real good.
Yeah, it got real good.
And got a shitload of Emmy nominations.
Oh my God. Like 25 or something?
Crazy. Yeah, rightfully so.
That was great.
But instead of doing that, I started Sugar. And I'm,
how do you like that?
Colin Farrell. It's in my Q zone. So I like stuff like that. Like, he's like a private detective that finds rich people's like missing relatives or whatever. But he's like an old timey, like, film buff. Like, he loves old Hollywood. So he's got that same exact style.
That's good.
Which is cool. Yeah.
That sounds good. I started Dark on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I was tweeting about that. I was like, you know what? All of a sudden, I went from having like a million shows on TV to like, there was a day where like the World Cup wasn't on, the Red Sox played during the day. I was like caught up on my shows, and I'm like, I need something to watch. And I remember people talking about Dark. And so it's in German. So I'm like watching it with subtitles, and I'm like 4 episodes in. It's pretty good. It's like, people compare it to Lost or like these type of shows, but I like it. X-Men 97. I think I'm 1 episode back. I think I've seen the first 3 episodes of X-Men 97. The first 3.
Yep.
I'm liking it. I'm liking it more than the first season. And everybody liked the first season. I liked it a little bit less than everybody else. This, I feel like, is even better.
I saw one highlight from this most current episode that made me of like, oh, I got to watch. And it's not a spoiler, but it's just Nightcrawler and swords.
Fuck yes.
Which is like the greatest. Finally. To me, like the greatest goddamn thing. Right?
Finally.
Yeah.
Ryan, the Bear is out. The last season is out, dropped all at once. Because we're not doing an episode on it for 2 more weeks, I purposely haven't even watched it.
Oh, it's spectacular.
Great. That's what I was going to ask you. So, all right, great.
Yeah.
So I'm saving it just so it's more fresh in my mind. Otherwise, I know I'll forget stuff.
They stuck the landing.
Good. So next week will be House of the Dragon and the Odyssey. And then the week after that will be House of the Dragon and the Bear.
Yes.
And then the week after that, it'll be House of the Dragon and Spider-Man.
Awesome.
We are in our busy.
What a time to be alive.
Season. Well, tough segue there because.
Pick of the bomb.
Lindsey Graham.
Sam Neill died. Star of Jurassic Park. I will always remember him from Jurassic Park. He was also in Peaky Blinders. He was in a bunch of other TV shows and movies, but most famously, clearly, he was in Jurassic Park, Jurassic Park 3. And then I think he popped back up. Which one was it? One of the Jurassic Worlds. One of the recent ones. He was in Event Horizon and a movie called Possession, if you've ever seen that one.
I know he did play Thomas Jefferson at one point.
How do you like that?
That was, yeah.
How do you like that? Sad. 78 years old too, like not super old.
But
so.
he had been like in and out of cancer treatment, and I know he was like in remission, and then it came back, and then it was like throat cancer or something pretty aggressive. Yeah.
Yeah, terrible. But Sam Neill, Dr. Alan Grant, one of all time greats right there. So pick of the pod there. Ryan, we haven't had one of these in a while, but you were telling me that. That's right. That sound means it is time for Should I Have Bought This?
Yes.
Which you can send into dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Something that you bought for yourself.
For myself.
$25 minimum.
Yep.
And then
I would like to thank Mark Zuckerberg and the people of Facebook Marketplace for bringing this to you today.
Okay. So this is something that David himself actually bought.
Yep. You know what has been really, you know those like little Japanese key trucks? Those little like putt around trucks that they're like $5,000 and they're like wheels on the other side, and they're cool. They're like little tiny trucks.
Okay.
Like I just want one just to bomb around town. But whatever. Okay. So I go on there every once in a while, and I just kind of like look at, and I found this absolute gem of a thing that I'm about to show you in a second.
Okay. All right.
Right?
Yep.
All right.
I'm in on this.
I'm going to hold it up. Are you ready?
Other people, if you guys want to send yours in, you can. Davey's got, that is an old school Red Sox snap jacket. It's got the snap buttons. It's all navy blue. You pop that sucker open.
It's embroidered. If you want the actual description, you pop it open. You hear the snaps.
Yeah, the snaps.
It is an 80. It's from the 80s.
I was going to say, every person in New England had one. You might still have it if you check your attic or your closet. You definitely had one of those.
So I got it from a guy who said he was moving to Florida.
Oh, yeah.
He's from Merrimack, New Hampshire. His name's Bill. Sweetheart of a guy. He's like, he's like, it's been in my basement for 30 years. He's like 30 years. He's like, I totally forgot I had it. It has a little bit, but he aired it out great. If you look on the inside, it's like pure white. Like this guy.
Oh,
like,
yeah. No stains.
You get like a little dingy. There's no stains.
Oh, Bill was
clean. It's from Starter when they were based in New Haven, Connecticut.
Oh yeah,
like wait. So it's legit from the 80s, like a vintage 80s Red Sox bullpen jacket.
Is that the one
completely
that's
completely pristine?
Does Sam Malone wear that one in Cheers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's the one that like Clemens wore it. Like you know, it's like that. It has like the red and blue collar. It's like the sateen, like you said, like Starter. Yeah. And it's like insulated on the inside. And I got it. I picked it up on Facebook Marketplace.
How much?
Let me ask you this first question. What do you think? Mitchell and Ness has a recreation of this jacket. How much do you think that costs?
Oh, the recreation would be $249.99.
Something. It's like $200, $250. I've seen them higher. It's like $300.
Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you. What did I get this for?
Well, it has to be a $25 minimum.
That's right.
I would say you got it for 50 doll hairs.
You nailed it.
$50. Bucks. Okay.
This is how we do it.
This is how we do it.
How about that?
So you said, so it was interesting because you said that everyone in New England had one of those.
Definitely.
My father actually had one too. It was a little worse for wear, but it was a medium. And so when we moved out of my childhood home, my sister took it. So she has exact same jacket.
Oh, that's cool.
But just like in a different size.
No, that's sweet. That's a sweet coat.
Oh, it's awesome. I'll let you borrow it.
I was gonna say, just every winter, just you go down to Dunkin' wearing one of those.
Oh, like, my God. Or just like in October. Yeah. They're not gonna play in October, but like a late September baseball game.
They might play in October this year. They're heat, they're on fire.
Right in time, to have recording. A week off.
Well, there's that. Yeah, but very good. That's a nice purchase right there.
Yeah, right.
That's real nice. All right, Ryan, let's get to this.
Y'all ready for bisque?
What do you say?
Yeah, why not?
All right, well, I'm glad you asked. It's the topic of the day. And today it is the DCU film, in fact, the second film in that franchise, Supergirl, 1 hour, 48 minutes, 54% on Rotten Tomatoes by the critics, 75% by the audience. We begin spoiler-free, as we do with all of our movie and TV reviews. Ryan, Supergirl, did you like it?
Yeah.
Huh?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I liked aspects of it.
Okay. All right. Liked aspects of it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I did like it. Did like it. And I'll tell you that there's a lot of haters out there. There's a lot of haters drinking the haterade on this movie. And they say it stinks. They say comic book movies are dead. People, you shouldn't see it. And if you should, you've got dumb brains if you like it. Disagree. So I went in with, I guess, fairly low expectations. I didn't see it opening weekend because I knew we weren't doing the episode right away. And then when I saw it, I was like, I didn't read anything about it other than I knew generally what the audience score versus the critic score was. And then like a couple of little like headline things about it. And I was like, oh, this is pretty good. I feel like it's the same way I felt pretty much after walking out of Mandalorian and Grogu. It's like everybody said how shitty it was and how it should have been like a streaming movie. And I'm like, what do you want these to be? Like, what did you want Mando and Grogu to be? What did you want Supergirl to be? Like, I thought it was pretty fun. I thought Millie Alcock was good as Supergirl. I thought some of the other stuff definitely kind of, there was a range of like good to not great stuff, like other characters, storylines, whatever. I thought she was good. I thought it was pretty fun. And I thought it went by quickly, and I was like, that was good. Like, that was a good movie. It's not going to change how you feel about comic book movies, but I also say that in a positive where I'm not like, fuck these are done. These are stupid. Like, that was good.
No, it was good. And like I said, there were aspects of it that were good. There were things that I really didn't like about it. But I'm going to say, I don't care if this is like a Millie Alcock. I'm a believer in her. She's good.
She's good.
And this is like going to be good for her.
Yeah.
I even thought the kid who played Ruthie. Yeah.
Like, yes,
she was good.
Yep.
You could tell how much fun Jason Momoa was having in this, because he says, like, when James Gunn or whoever, Zack Snyder brought me in to do Justice League, and he's like, oh, I want you to make a big role for it. He's like, I thought it was Lobo, and I wanted it to be Lobo.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. Yeah. And he's like, no, oh, okay. But he's like, now I get to do it. And you could tell that he was fucking into it.
Oh, yeah. He was fired up for sure. Did you watch the Supergirl TV show at all?
I did not. No.
So pretty good, actually. And so it originally started as a CBS series, and it was not in the Arrowverse originally. And that was the Green Arrow, it was the Flash, it was Legends of Tomorrow. They even added more and more over there. Like, I think, what the hell was it? Black Lightning, maybe Batwoman. They also really joined up. Anyway, they eventually did a crossover with Supergirl on the Flash, and then they sort of like folded it in, and they were like, well, it's not the same Earth, but it is the same universe and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It was pretty good, but I think for a lot of people, it's sort of like an introduction to Supergirl. Also, the movie in which this, or the story in which this movie is pretty much based on, is a comic book written by Tom King called Woman of Tomorrow, which I highly recommend. Now, a lot of the aspects of it are here, so maybe you'd have a general idea of what's going on, but it's great. It's like, I've not read a ton of Supergirl. That particular like story is awesome, and it's this idea like where Ruth, I guess without getting into spoilers, like Supergirl's like helping a character and then goes along this whole thing. I love the idea of a Kryptonian going away from a yellow sun just so they can like feel things and like get drunk. Yeah. But also like there's a line where she's fighting and she's like, oh, I'm bleeding, which like she just wouldn't like if she was like fighting on like a yellow sun planet. So that kind of shit. So it's like that vibe is in the comic. The comic's really good. The comic's like, I would say overall better than the movie is, but the movie was still fun. I enjoyed it. The current DCU, this is fairly interesting to me. Superman was the first one. We liked it. James Gunn, Superman. Then it's this October, Clayface, which is a horror movie, like a one-off horror movie. And then the only next thing that's like for sure on the books is next July is Man of Tomorrow, the Superman sequel.
Yeah. And I know they've mentioned Brave and the Bold. So they have like a Batman Brave and the Bold happening, but like we don't know anything about. We just know that that's what it's going to be. We just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they also said, well, obviously Peacemaker takes place in this universe. So Peacemaker, the TV show, is great. The Lanterns TV show is coming out this summer, which I'm really excited about.
I'm very excited about that too.
Creature Commandos, we loved.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Creature Commandos was fun as shit. There's apparently going to be a Booster Gold show, Amanda Waller show, and I think Swamp Thing movie, which would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And a Wonder Woman movie. Like, so they're recasting Wonder Woman and that whole thing. So I don't know. It's interesting. It's in an interesting spot, the DCU. Superman was a really good, promising start. And to have James Gunn, I think, involved in all of this, even though he was only a producer on this, he didn't write Supergirl, he didn't direct Supergirl, but just like having his hand in this, I think it was a fairly good follow-up. I like Superman more. Like, if you're going to ask me which movie I liked more, I like Superman more than Supergirl, but I still thought it was pretty enjoyable.
And I know exactly why you liked Superman more, and it's one of the things that bothered me about this movie that wasn't as good. We will get into that.
Okay.
In spoilers. What were you going to ask me?
Is it a must see?
Of course. I mean, because you need to, I think moving forward, like you need to, the relationship between Kal-El and Kara.
Yeah.
Zor-El or El.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, there are definitely probably people that are a little bit like have cooled off their love of comic book movies, but those probably aren't the people that either host a dork podcast or listen to a dork podcast. Correct. So it's like our wheelhouse. Not
stakeholders. Right.
Yeah, like no, we're still in on these, and you have Spider-Man coming out at the end of the month. You have Doomsday coming out at the end of the year. Like, it's still a pretty good time to be a comic book movie fan. And I thought this one was good. All right, what is your dork score for Supergirl?
I'm gonna give it a 3.5.
Oh, you didn't like it as much as I did.
What?
I said you didn't like it as much as
I didn't. No.
All right, so you were being nice before. So I've sort of boxed myself in because I ranked it on my Letterboxd a little bit higher than a couple movies I gave a 5 to, but I don't think this is a 5 movie.
No.
So like maybe I need to like re-score some of the other ones because I still have it ranked fairly high. I'm going to go 4.5 though. I'm going 4.5 for Supergirl. And like one of the movies, I think like Hokum, I gave like a 5, or like Ready or Not 2, I gave a 5. And I'm like, I don't know. This one I might like a little bit more. But anyway, so all right, I'm going 4.5. Davey's going 3.5. If you guys watched it, let us know what you think on the YouTube chat, what your dork score is for Supergirl. Or you can always hit us up on Twitter and Instagram. Let us know your thoughts there as well. Let's get to this.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, what was your biggest gripe?
Two. I have two. My gripes are two. This Craig Gillespie, the director of this movie, tried so hard to make this a Guardians movie. Like just from the sets to the tone to the villain to like. Mm. It looked like a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, even with like the soundtrack and shit and her listening to the headphones. Like it was so on the nose that if I'm James Gunn, I'd be like, listen, man, I've already done that. Yeah. I don't want you to do my thing. Like do your own thing, right? You could see Gunn's fingerprints all over this thing, even from like the humor to like, you know, these like anti-hero kind of characters and whatever. Like I just thought that was kind of played out. Secondly, I started reading a little bit of like Woman of Tomorrow. So like was it Krem?
Yeah.
Was the Krem of the Yellow Hills or something?
Yeah.
That character in Tom King's book is so much better. And I fucking hate movies where bad guys are just completely despicable for no reason.
Yeah, that's kind of what you got here.
And it's just kind of like, well, they're an all male race and they need women. So like, but he doesn't have to be a dick about it. Like, why is he such a dick about it?
Mm-hmm.
And like, why did he go to Ruthie's parents' place in the first place? We never really got that answered. Why was he there?
Oh, I think because Ruthie's dad made weapons, and like they wanted those weapons.
So he killed him?
Oh yeah. Yeah, he killed him.
So right, like, what's the point of that then?
Yeah, killed him and then left her there.
Why don't you just kill the rest of his family and be like, now make weapons?
Yeah, he could have
like,
done that.
It doesn't make sense. Like, well, the villains.
Maybe he would have said
why?
No. Yeah.
Why Superman works is because you have Lex Luthor, who is a fantastic villain.
Really good
and
villain.
Like one of the best, right? And mm-hmm. so this has a villain problem, which we've seen in other movies, some Marvel before. Like it's
a lot of
believable
movies.
Villain.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But again, I like Millie Alcock. I liked Ruthie. I liked Jason Momoa as Lobo. Whenever Lobo was on the screen, he was popping.
Yeah.
Like from the fuse. And I love you just see like the cigar.
Yeah.
First.
And giant cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had probably the most memorable line of the movie as well, which came out of fucking nowhere. Like, yeah, well, we're into spoilers, right?
Yeah, go ahead. You're spoiler.
So he's about to leave, and this has been a pretty, you know, clean movie so far. And
yeah,
if you look at some of the clips, I was like, did I hear? And I like Googled it to make sure I heard what I heard.
Yeah.
And at one point, he calls Kara a ditz, or someone calls her a ditz.
Yeah.
But what he says is later tits.
Right.
Which I was like, wait.
I know. Is this what? PG-13?
But
yeah.
That's exactly something that Lobo would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like if you know that character, you're like, that's exactly something he would say. But also like in the it was like, hold on. And like, everyone was like looking around, like, you heard that too, right?
Yeah, I got it.
Because it came like, out of nowhere.
It was strange. It was definitely it was definitely strange. I feel like Lobo kind of to me kind of sums up the movie in a few ways where like I thought there were some really high highs and then also some sort of like sometimes he looked a little wonky, like sometimes it looked a little off. That was like he disappeared for a long stretch and then he's obviously just like came back and then like I don't know, it was cool that he was there. I think if you didn't have him it would have been you would have been missing something. So I understand why they were like, hey, let's introduce another character and a cool character that we haven't seen live action before. Mm-hmm. And even though it was sort of like an unwilling partnership, like the pair up anytime there was like the duo, I'm like, this is a pretty sweet combo. Yeah. Like that's an awesome like tag team.
And the hook was pretty awesome too.
The hook was sick. The flying motorcycle, just like the way
great hook accuracy, by the way, we talk about hook accuracy a lot on this program, but
yeah, Roadhog would be proud. He had some really good ones. But also I liked, you know me, I love when a character like talks up another character. Like so rather than just like having a character do something cool and I'm like, oh, that was cool. Like the first time Supergirl sees Lobo and she's like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Shit.
Yeah. She's like, we got to go. Like we like just right there said everything. Cause we already,
she's begging Ruthie, like, don't talk to him. Like, do not
go up to him. Like we just, we got to get going. And so like, that's sweet. That like already kind of like sells him a little bit. So I agree with you on the Guardians thing. And I was watching, and it's another one that I think it kind of goes a little bit both ways where you're like, I love Guardians. Guardians is my favorite comic book movie. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you want to do some of this shit where you're going to like different planets and you're hopping around and you're doing this, but you don't clearly have like the cast of characters that Guardians has. You don't have the sweet soundtrack that Guardians has, but they tried here and there with some of it. I did think
the one of the greatest music fuck-ups in a movie I've seen in a while, too, which took it down a half stone for me.
Yeah, but did you hear? So you're talking about the very last song they played?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear what they were going to play?
I heard that song that they chose was like the 30-something pick. Like they went through over and over, like they were trying to figure out what song to use, and they settled on probably the worst cover of one of the best songs from my adolescence.
It was a really strange choice. However, the one that I heard before, I guess, in fact, an early cut of the film used a cover of Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper. Huh?
Why are we doing covers?
Also, I don't know. I don't know why we're doing covers. But I feel like Girls Just Want to Have Fun in Supergirl is akin to at the end of The Bride, and this is like a minor spoiler, but who cares? The movie's horrible. The last song they play in The Bride, which is like Frankenstein's monster bride shit.
It's the Maggie Gyllenhaal one,
yeah, is Monster Mash. They play Monster Mash at for end credits. So girls just wanted to have fun. I think I would have like, it would have been more of like a groan. But this one, I heard people hated it. I didn't know what it was going into the movie. And then it is, what, The Middle by Jimmy Eat World? The Middle
by Jimmy Eat World, which is on, by the way, I shot that show, brag, I shot that show recently where they played that album. It was like the 25th anniversary of that album.
Oh, that's cool.
Of Bleed American. And that is probably, that's song three in what I consider the best opening five-track run of any album.
Wow.
It is, listen, just the five first tracks of that album. It is amazing.
Okay, right, I'll do that.
But you have this super annoying, slowed down, like jazz version, like jazz vocal version of this song, and it just sucked.
It didn't work.
Like, ugh. Yeah.
I agree.
There are so many better songs you could have picked for that. Like,
I agree, that part didn't work.
Music supervisor should be a job that I should just have qualified
take
for
that job.
Because on merit. Yeah, but whatever.
But that one is weird. I think the story I read is that Gunn wanted the Cyndi Lauper cover, and then they ended up going though with this cover, and I'm like, shouldn't have been either one of those.
No, it shouldn't be a cover of anything.
And randomly, there was another fight scene, I'm trying to think what it was, where like I was waiting for a kick-ass song to kick in, and it didn't. It was just like a score. It was just like a score. It was just like music in the background. I'm like, why is there not like a badass song right now? I was like, they like ramped you all the way up for it. And part of the reason why I think Deadpool and Wolverine is so good in my mind is because they just are constantly throwing songs that you like at you. And you're like, I like this movie. But like, it's a trick you can use. Gunn uses it all the time. Not saying his movies aren't good anyway, but I'm saying like it's a thing that you feel even better about as you're watching it. Supergirl like tried to do that, but didn't even go full go into that. So that was disappointing.
And there are some, I'm looking at like the rejected, there's some great songs on here that they could have used.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I know
this is just,
but I would say to me, the strengths were, Supergirl. Like I think the main character was really good. I think a couple little cameos of Superman were good, including that, like you get a little backstory on Supergirl. You get like a little quick origin story of Supergirl. And how she's younger than Clark, but she didn't come to Earth until much later. So she actually lived in sort of like this like little bubble world of Krypton for a while with her family until that was no longer sustainable. And then she leaves, but she has that as like a background. So she doesn't even speak English or anything like that.
Right.
And Clark finds her and there's like that whole scene. So I thought that was pretty strong.
I thought it was good too that she mentions the fact that she's like technically older than Clark.
Yeah. No, she's younger.
No, but she was born before him, but then like the trip made her, like he was on Earth and like the trip, he's now older than her, but she was like born before him. It's like confusing.
It is confusing. Yeah.
Cause he left at when Krypton split.
She was gone. Yeah. Yeah.
And she stayed. Cause so when he was born, she was technically older than him.
Yeah. But I thought she was in that little bubble thing. I thought that's where she was born. And then she lived.
Yes. But
there.
He was already gone.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know he was gone. Yeah. Yeah, but I thought she said she's 10 years younger than him.
Yeah, but it's like, she says that like it's confusing, but like technically I'm like older than him, but I'm like not. Because she was alive. She was already born when he was born. She was like 8 when he was born, or she was 10 when he was born.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around.
And then because she was like, he went as a baby, and then the light year trip to Earth makes him technically older now.
So then she goes like, they don't go into the Fortress of Solitude, but you like see it from the outside. You also have the whole thing like with the storyline with Crypto. And so it's like, Ruth is like, hey, can you help get these people? Cause they killed my parents. She's like, no, I'm not doing that. And then Krem shoots Crypto with the dart. And then he's like, all right. But this was annoying with Krem is like, so he has the anecdote, which I actually do think is a great like weapon. Right. So it's like, I can kill you. Like, you're going to be like paralyzed until I give you the anecdote. So you better tell me what I want. That's great. Makes sense. But for him to wear it around on a lanyard the whole movie is a little much. Wouldn't you put it somewhere else?
Like, or put it in your pocket. You don't need to like wear it out.
It's something else.
Good way to like lose it. But it's also like a good vehicle because I feel like too much Crypto is a little bit annoying. Like he's just so chaotic that it's just you got to get him out. You got to find a way to get him away.
And even Superman was like sort of towing that line. There was a lot of crypto in Superman. I did like the scene where Supergirl's with Ruth and then they're traveling. The whole traveling thing I enjoyed. And then they are about to get like carjacked basically by those like three.
What do they call them? Like techno pirates
or whatever. Yeah, yeah. But then the bus driver and then the little guy, the Seth Rogen voice was great. That was hilarious. He's like, I knew I should have taken today off, Lloyd. I never should have come to work today. But that was cool. I like the idea of Supergirl going to a planet where like she doesn't have powers, but like when the sun sets and the other sun comes up, like she does have powers. I think that part is pretty sweet.
That is cool. But like the thing when the green sun goes down and they did the whole thing with like her blood cells. I'm like, we didn't need that.
Oh yeah, we didn't need to go inside there. Get it. We get it. This will power her up a little bit. Yeah. I mean, and then the movie basically ends with Supergirl on Earth. She's got her partying days behind her. She's going to like help team up with Superman, which on the one hand is great. On the other hand, you do sort of set yourself up for right off the rip needing pretty incredible battles. If Superman and Supergirl are both truly on Earth and they're both defending Earth, okay, like you're already like upping it to such a high degree because of like the power set that they have.
Do we have a villain set for Man of Tomorrow, or are we just assuming it's Brainiac?
Ooh, good question. Brainiac,
right?
I mean, I'm sure Lex Luthor's in the movie.
Yes.
But
they're like kind of teaming up against whatever's coming. Is the idea? It's like a buddy.
It is Brainiac. You're right.
Yeah,
it's Brainiac, and the Lanterns will be in that too.
Yeah, and which was great because as shitty as it was, like the Justice League game that absolutely tanked, that was a good Brainiac story.
Oh, I remember that actually. Yeah.
And
yeah,
like so where you get like the kind of like the evil versions of superheroes.
That's true.
Yeah. Which would be cool. But yeah, I mean, it has to be like bigger than just kind of like and I'm wondering.
Yeah, you're gonna have to set it off. Although you can still do movies like Clayface and sort of like do those on the side. Yeah, but
no, I keep thinking of like that Pete Holmes like Batman thing that he did when like Superman's like, we gotta team up, and he's like, why?
So smart. Yeah.
There's two of them.
You can do it. Yeah. She'll be in that. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, and this might be a question for Fryer or Dr. Joe, but like, is technically Superman a little stronger than Supergirl because he's been on Earth longer?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, just
he's
like
had more exposure to the sun,
maybe. Although, like, what we're learning is like
it's pretty quick,
it is pretty quick. And well, no, maybe, yeah. Maybe
I did like that bit where he's like, and your powers are gonna kick in right about now.
Yeah,
I did like that.
That's pretty good. I think the podium for this movie is pretty easy. It's got to be Supergirl. Would you go Supergirl, Lobo, Ruth, or Ruth, Lobo? Probably those three. Mm-hmm. Some order for sure. But I mean, I feel like that's a strength because we've done other movies where you're like the best character is not the main character or like not like the title character. And like that's a problem. So I thought at least she was really good.
I mean, but like I feel like was... maybe in the first one, but was Star-Lord ever the best character in Guardians?
Oh, yeah, not for us. I mean, you're a Rocket guy, I'm a Gamora guy, but like Star-Lord's pretty good.
He's good. I mean, he was good in the first for sure. He was awesome in the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. But that's like a bigger like ensemble. And his name's not even in the movie. You know what I mean? It's like they're literally Guardians of the Galaxy.
And they're just like, and they're like making fun of the fact that he calls himself Star-Lord.
Yeah,
it's the name he gave himself. Yeah.
That's true. All right, very good. You guys can let us know what you thought of Supergirl. Oh, by the way, Fan Expo Boston's coming up in another month. I don't know if we're going to get over there or not. We have some people asking us if we're going.
We could probably still apply.
We could probably still maybe go for zip in for a day.
Yeah.
But that's coming up. Mel Gibson's going to be there. And
Chris Evans is going to be there.
Chris Evans is going to be there.
Yeah.
And like the cast of The Boys, I think like most of The Boys are going to be there.
That might be a good, yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
We never really, it's funny, when we go, we don't really ever take advantage of the press pass. That's just, we're just like, oh, we get it for free. But we never really like, there is like perks that come with that we never really use.
No, we're just going to walk around.
Yeah.
Just going to get in, mingle around a little bit. look at the swords, look at the Funko right. Pops, call it a day.
Now I'm going to be walking around and be like, I can 3D print that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just coming up with ideas. Like, I can make that.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, sweet. So next week, obviously, is the Odyssey. We're very excited about that. So it'll be the Odyssey and episode 5 of House of the Dragon. Hell so yeah. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this. Tell a friend, tell a dork, and Rye, in the meantime, stay hard and stay curious.
The Hashtag Dork Podcast.